Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
So, character of a godly leader, this is session 3, and I just entitled it Faithful Ministers. And in the previous sessions, we've been focusing on various aspects of the character of a leader. We know that leaders, you know, do a lot of different stuff and have a lot of different responsibilities. And we've really just been in these 3 sessions focusing on the character, because my thought process on this is pretty simple. And that is, if we can get the character part right, I think the Lord will do His part and lead us to lead others. I think the Lord will give us strategies. The Lord will help us in a lot of ways. I think what is the most important aspect about leaders of any level, whether it's a leader, you know, in a home, a leader of a church, a leader of a Bible study, or of your 2 friends. I think the most important thing about leadership is that our character look like that of Christ's, and that our character align with the teachings of the New Testament specifically about leadership. There's so much leadership lesson material in the New Testament. So that's kind of what we've been covering. And tonight I'm really going to focus on the faithfulness aspect. So one of the sessions was just on being an example. And last session kind of focused on some of the difficulties, of being a leader and some of the overcomings. And this one just talking about the concept of faithfulness. And one of the things that you guys have probably heard me say before is that the concept of faithfulness is one of the most prominent themes in the New Testament. Faithfulness, perseverance, keep going, don't quit. Even self-control. There are so many things that tie into the concept of doing the right thing and keep doing the right thing. And that's such a major theme of the New Testament. And so in the concept of leadership, it's a major thing that we want to focus on, of what to expect in those that are leading us and what to emulate as we are leaders in our different spheres of life. So it's important that we are faithful and that we stay faithful for the long haul. You know, I in this weekend being able to talk with Dave Slyker a little bit, he's just reminding me of a word that the Lord gave to Mike Bickle about the importance of Mike starting the thing that the Lord told him to do and then remaining faithful until he was dead. Like, never wavering. Because his plumb lining and staying steady to the thing that God called him would either give strength to the people that watched or would totally dishearten, disillusion, and cause the hearts of many to faint and to fail if they saw him stop doing the ministry assignment. And so there's just something about the following the Lord in the small things of life and even in our ministry assignments for the long haul, and not letting anything cause us to waver. Well, this concept is most important to us as leaders because it's the example that we set for others to follow. People are looking for solid, steady people to follow after. And not follow in any sort of weird sense, to follow in the sense that Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. People are looking for people that are steady. People are looking for people that are unmoved, that have got godly character. And so, in a conversation about godly, the character of a godly leader, we want to focus on this aspect. I got a great scripture that really illustrates this point in Matthew 24. The Lord desires, I'm going to read this passage in a second, but the Lord really desires that each of us be faithful ministers in whatever sphere of influence we've been given. And as we've talked about, that sphere of influence looks different for everybody. But as faithful ministers or servants of the Lord, this issue of being faithful to what the Lord commissions us to do. So a mom, being faithful to those duties. To a small group leader, being a faithful small group leader. To a leader in business, being faithful, not just looking at that as a job, being faithful to that assignment that the Lord gave you. Whatever that assignment might be. So let's just read Matthew 24 tonight. And I'll just tell you, I got a bunch of verses tonight. We may not even read them all. Just put them up there and kind of run through them. I want the word tonight to just wash over us about the concepts of leadership, specifically as it pertains to staying steady, staying faithful. So Matthew 24, one of these parables that Jesus tells, 45 through 51. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at their proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. So just put yourself in this parable. And look at yourself as trying to be the faithful and wise servant. And it's the concept of, what has the Lord put you in charge to do? Who has he given you leadership over? What assignments has he given you? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing what he told him to do when he comes back, when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master's staying away a long time. And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. And this is talking really about two different areas of issue. The first area is abusing those that he was given leadership over. And the second is just engaging in destructive behavior, just sin, just getting into worldliness. And so it's really two different distractions. The master of that servant will come on a day he doesn't expect, and in an hour he's not aware of. He'll cut him to pieces, assign him a place with the hypocrites where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a big deal. The role of the leader, it's so important that we say yes to the assignment, whatever the assignment is. The assignment could be so small. It could be in your home. It could be at your work. It could be in your church environment, in your small group, whatever. The point isn't the what. The point is the how. Say yes to what it is that the Lord leads, and then stay faithful to those things for the long term. Now, I know that many of the scriptures we're going to look at tonight are in the context of elders in the New Testament church. I know that. So nobody come up to me afterwards and go, you know that verse is really about elders. Yeah, I know. I think that actually studying what the Lord put in the hearts of the apostles to give as the premier leadership role in the New Testament that we have at the local church level, if you will, the elder, I think by looking at the things that were said about the elders and what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to carry themselves in the area of being faithful, I think is a great place to start on the study of leadership. Because it was what the Lord put in the hearts of the apostles to say, listen, put these guys in place over these churches and let everybody look to them as leaders. Let everybody try to emulate the way that they live, their lifestyle, the way they hold themselves. And so I'm not in any way thinking that the standards of the elder is something that everybody is supposed to hold to a perfect. But I think there's something we're all supposed to strive towards. I do. I believe that that's something that the Lord has, especially for leaders, is that we would look at the ways that the Lord laid out what good leaders are supposed to do, how they're supposed to carry themselves, how they're supposed to live, and that we would try, wherever we're at, in whatever spheres of influence that we have, to emulate some of those things. So that's my little disclaimer there. A couple of takeaways. I want to call us tonight to be faithful in the small things that the Lord has given to us, specifically in the area of leadership. And then I want to identify just some of what the Word has to say about leaders. So with that, keeping the minister faithful. So the idea is that we start off saying yes to whatever it is that the Lord would have us to do. I'm thinking right now about these new small group leaders. And I can remember back when that was me, when I was a new small group leader. And that was kind of my first ministry assignment, if you will. And I was given the 7th and 8th year old smelly boys. 7th and 8th grade, sorry, smelly boys. And man, they were stinky. I don't think a lick of them took a shower. I had to disciple showering into them. It was great. And I can remember given that ministry assignment, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't know, how to do it. I didn't know the word that well. There were so many reasons why that was a difficult ministry assignment, especially until we got them showering. And I can just remember so many times just wanting to quit and just like, oh man, I just don't know about this. And so it wasn't that I said yes to the assignment. It's the key is, how do you say yes and then keep going? Well, it's good for leaders to have clear expectations. I just think that that's a helpful piece in keeping leaders going, is to have clear expectations made for them. And so what that looks like is, in that ministry environment, those that were leaders over me told me, hey, listen, Brad, you're going to lead these people, these 7th and 8th grade guys, and here's some things that you kind of want to do. These are some things you want to aim towards. These are some assignments that you kind of want to take seriously and try to disciple into these guys. Or here's a couple of things you could try to do with them. There were some clear expectations that were made for me that helped me to know what I was supposed to do as a leader. I think that's helpful. Also, for leaders to have regularly assigned tasks and clearly communicated responsibilities. One of my assigned tasks, I can just remember in those early days, I had absolutely nothing to do with those stinky boys. It was to fill the Coke machines. I had this weekly responsibility. Fill the Coke machines. And so my job every week was to go over to the Coke machines at this big church that I was serving at and empty the, you know, the old stuff or whatever and stock them and put that in there. It was a weekly responsibility. The reason I throw that in there is because so much of our leadership training may not even directly relate to people. It's just learning to be faithful with the small stuff. But what I learned during that early season was the value of not only having clear expectations about how to relate to those that I was doing ministry, but having regularly assigned duties and tasks just to be helpful and just to be a team player. I think that that's helpful in for leaders. And then for leaders to have clear expectations of themselves of what they're trying to do and communicate that to those that they're leading. You know, one of the things that I try to do here, just even from my own sake, is we try to make it clear what this church is trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do, what we're about. And it may not be super complex, but we're trying to communicate, listen, this is what we're aiming towards. And what it does is it gives everybody a vision for what we're aiming towards. And then when we take certain steps, hopefully those steps that we're taking are actually in line with that vision that we're casting of this is what we're trying to accomplish, this is where we're going. You know what that actually does? It's partly an accountability for me as a leader to make sure that one, we've got a direction that we're doing, that we're going, and two, that we're actually trying to take steps to get towards that direction. It's very, very helpful for leaders to have accountability in their leadership. Not just moral accountability, I'm glad that I have that, but accountability even as leaders to keep on leading. To keep on moving forward, that's helpful. It's helpful to, even as a small group leader, or, you know, in the home. I'm thinking about Amy, some of the things that she wants to do with JC and in our home. We share ideas and she's telling me some of this stuff because she's wanting there to just be somebody to know what the vision is. And it's partly an accountability point. I think accountability is essential. And I think accountability is one of the most missing features in leadership in the body of Christ right now. As just is becoming so evident with so many that are falling into serious sin. But I'm not just talking about moral accountability, though I think that's a big issue right now. Even accountability to just keep on leading. It's really easy as a leader to be given a leadership assignment, to say yes to it, to start doing it, and then at some point to stagnate and to stop moving that thing forward. So as a small group leader, it's get to a certain point and then really stop investing in that small group. Really stop investing in those people. Stop investing in moving that thing forward and in trying to grow that and trying to, you know, hear from the Lord what might be a valuable insight or a prophetic word or a prayer that you can pray over those that you're leading. It gets really easy to get to a point where you just kind of stagnate. And I think it's good that we have accountability to say, no, keep on pressing forward. Keep on leading those that you're leading. And again, take that into whatever environment that you've got. Leaders need accountability in their lives. Leaders need leaders over them. And also peers that they can relate to and even have accountability with at that level. This can be structured differently in a lot of different places and a lot of different ministries, but I think it's not safe. I want to say this as a character issue. And this statement isn't so much that you can really even apply it right here, right now. I just want you to store this away because who knows where else you'll find yourself? Who knows what other environments you'll be in? Who knows what measures of authority the Lord might give each of you? I do not think it's safe at all for leaders to not have accountability at various levels. It has a very unsafe place to be. As individuals, and even as leaders. And it's one of the reasons that you hear, you know, regularly what the accountability looks like around here. You know, I mean, that there's people that are in my small group and they keep me accountable and I keep them accountable. And then I've also got Pastor Adam looking over my shoulder and he keeps me accountable. And I've got, you know, some other groups as well. And I think that's healthy to have multiple, you know, veins of people that are keeping each other accountable because it's not that that we aim to do something stupid or to get off. It's just human nature to do something stupid and get off. And so it's so good to have people in your life to just help correct you and help encourage you and then have that place. And so I think a major aspect of keeping ministers in the race, keeping steady, staying faithful, is the issue of actually of having accountability and openness with people. Now, I want to put this in here, and I recognize that this is one of those that's clearly for elders, but it's just something that, you know, maybe you've never heard it taught, and maybe you've never seen it done, and it's a biblical concept, and that is 1 Timothy 5:20-21. Now, the issue that we were just talking about really comes to the issue of accountability, and specifically, you know, this passage is dealing with the area of sin. And we were talking about it's good for leaders to say yes, to keep doing what they're supposed to do, to have accountability that there's that they keep doing it. But look what 1 Timothy 5 says. Those who are in sin, and I understand this is about elders, those who are in sin are to be rebuked publicly so that others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God, keep these instructions without showing partiality. There is a place, especially for leaders that have got an increased measure of influence, for those that are leading ministries, there is a place for that leader to be rebuked publicly. Now, you may have never seen that done, but part of the reason for it is, just says it right here, so that the others may watch it happen and go, oh snap, not me. I'm going to stop doing whatever I was doing because I don't want that to be me next week. I mean, that's what that says. That's a powerful motivator. I've been in some environments where this has happened. It's a powerful motivator. It's powerful. I mean, that's not supposed to scare us into, you know, doing anything, but I mean, the Bible says it. I mean, it's like, that's actually part of the deal. Is that elders, those that are, you know, given spheres of authority in the church, they're actually to be rebuked publicly. So I just, reason I say that is there's a good chance none of you or very few of you have ever seen that done. And I just want to tell you, if you ever do see it done, instead of going, oh my gosh, these people are horrible, maybe go look at the context to see what's happening behind the scenes, because there's a good chance if they're doing it, they're actually trying to apply 1 Timothy 5, and they might actually be right in line. And it might feel so weird. That might be the weirdest feeling. Oh my gosh, I've had to do it before. And it was the weirdest feeling for me. And for people in the room and people afterwards. And it was just weird. It's hard. But it was good. It was right. And it was a take warning kind of a thing. And it is, man, I can remember people looking at me like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just did that. And we did it real sweet and careful and loving, but I mean, we had to do it. And I mean, it's just intense, you know? And there's something in us that doesn't want to see people ever rebuked or corrected, or and for elders, for those that are in that place of, again, that leadership role of elder, it's supposed to be done publicly. And not the first time they sin and mess up. It's a lack of repentance or an unwillingness to take measures to fix the problem kind of a deal. So you don't do that on the first try. But I threw that in there because we may not do another series on leadership and godly leaders, and I wanted to make sure you guys knew that verse was in your Bible, because it's a real part of the leadership process, so let all the leaders take a little warning there. And you know what, just as a little side note, that can be taken to whatever different level and sphere of influence. Just even the, you know, small group level. I'm just imagining, you know, small groups growing and there's a small group leader and they're raising up kind of a protege, helper, assistant small group leader. And that small group leader is just really just, that assistant small group leader is just really not willing to do something or whatever. There's a right time and place, actually, even in that setting, to go, bro, you need to get with it, even when two or three people are standing around. You don't start there, but there is a place for it. Okay, well, I wanted to touch on a couple of positives, and then we'll keep looking at focusing on ministry assignment. And again, the point of this series is really to deal with the character issues. You know, back to that verse that we just read, there's a right way and a wrong way to handle that on the receiving end. I mean, the right way to handle it is just shut your mouth, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and just eat it. That's what a godly leader would do who's getting rebuked in that moment. So if you ever find yourself there or you ever see somebody doing it, just watch them. The godly character moment would be, I did it. It was me. I'm sorry, forgive me. That would be godly. And there's 10 other adverse responses that would be not the character of a godly leader. Fighting back, refusing to come to the meeting that night. I mean, just all the different stuff like that. This series really is focusing at that character point. And these verses are just helping us get to scenarios to see how our own heart might carry in those situations. To know how we might respond. So there are some rewards, though. It's not all blood, sweat, and tears. There's some of that. But there's some real rewards that are to be apportioned to our leaders. That are to be apportioned to our leaders for their service. Some of it comes from the Lord in this life. Some of it comes from the Lord in the age to come. And some of it comes from us towards our leaders in this life. And below, I just gave some categories that I'm going to give you here in a moment. And the focus of this really isn't... It's just to paint the picture of what a leader is due. Because leaders are due something. Now, we spent a session, I think it was the last one, talking about the other side of that, and that is the people that you're serving may not always treat you right. They may not always do what the Bible would maybe have them to. They may not always treat you with respect. But as those that want to be godly, these are the kinds of things that we actually are supposed to do and interact with our leaders on these levels. So one thing is the Lord in this life promises to give favor to leaders so they can lead. I mean, if a leader is supposed to lead, that leader needs some stuff that not everybody standing around him has. So that they've got something, anything, to be able to lead. And that favor can show up in 100 different ways. But that's a fun point about leadership. That's been exciting for me. It's been fun for me. In that area of leadership, that the Lord will give me stuff sometimes. Not like something in my hand, not something physical. Just an idea or an increase in this or a little bit of understanding on the word or something. The Lord gives more to leaders so that those leaders have something to lead with. That's a fun, like, interchange. Lord, I'm willing to lead, but that means you're going to have to give me stuff because otherwise I won't be able to help anybody worth squat. And the Lord's like, okay, I can work with that. And so a fun piece of the interchange is that the Lord actually gives to leaders favor that he doesn't give to just anybody. And so think that through. Next, the Lord speaks more to leaders so they can lead. Now, I don't necessarily mean the Lord speaks more to leaders than any other person. I just mean the Lord speaks to leaders more than they would speak to that same person if they weren't leading. Because that same person needs more so they can lead. So, man, what a fun dynamic that the Lord would speak to a leader because that leader isn't just seeking for their own self. That leader is seeking for a group of people. Whether that group of people is their household or their coworkers or a small group or whatever the context might be. But the Lord gives more. And so just as leaders that are striving to apply these things, I just want you to take that one to the bank. Go to the Lord with that and go, Lord, speak to me. I need you to speak to me so that I can help this person. There have been so many times, guys, I didn't have a clue what I was supposed to do or say. I just look at the situation, whatever the situation that was presented to me, somebody that I was trying to help or encourage or somebody in a small group setting or a church setting or whatever. I just had nothing. And I was like, God, tell me something. Because otherwise, I'm not going to be able to help this person at all. And the Lord does. That's happened so many times. And then the Lord also provides more opportunities to leaders so that they can lead. Those opportunities can vary. It really kind of flows into the same concept as the favor. But the idea is that you will be given, if you put yourself in a position where you are trying to have stuff to be able to help people with, the Lord will give you more opportunities if you keep that heart posture of leadership, that role of leadership. He'll give you more opportunities so that you've got more to be able to give, so that you've got more experience, so that you've got more opportunities, so you've got more avenues to be able to bless people. He'll give you more because he wants you to use that opportunity, not for yourself merely, but for others. And again, I'm not saying that the Lord gives every single leader more than everybody else. I'm saying the Lord gives that leader more to that individual than that individual would have if they weren't leading. And the reason is because the Lord wants for them to be able to use those gifts, strengths, talents, graces, opportunities, increased influence, to be able to help those that they're leading. It's just a fun piece of leadership. That has been one of my most favorite pieces of the whole leading process for years, is watching the Lord do those things over and over and over again so that I had something to be able to help others out with. Next point, rewards from the Lord in the age to come. Now, we know that there are eternal rewards. But every time a leader, and think about yourself, put yourself in the context of you're leading those kids in your school environment, you're leading your friend, back home, you're leading your family, whatever the context might be. Every act done in love, the Lord sees and rewards. And since leaders have more opportunities to do acts done in love, there's actually greater rewards just because you had more opportunities. It's just a sweet scenario. And then from us to those that we lead, this is the last little reward kind of category, and that is that there should be great respect for those who lead. Now, it's not always the case, but it's our responsibility. It's actually what the Word puts on us is to give respect to those to whom respect is due. And for our leaders, there's supposed to be a measure of respect. It doesn't mean we like every decision. It doesn't mean that we love everything that they have to say or do. It just means that we carry such a respect for those that lead us. And I've shared this before. I've been in environments before where the leaders that the Lord had over me, I respected because I just thought they were so cool. And I respected because I thought they did things so well. And then there were also times where I had leaders over me that I had to work a little harder on the respect thing. But they were due that respect. And it's an issue of how are we, in our character, going to carry ourselves in respecting and showing that respect to those that are due it, which leaders are. Next is not to entertain an accusation unless there's two or more witnesses. And again, this I understand a lot of these terms and concepts were written for elders, but I think that that's a fair assessment for a lot of levels of leadership. Those that are leading well, that are carrying themselves with such character, to not even bring an accusation against, not even to entertain it because one person has something to say. I mean, man, just I think so much maligning occurs because one person misinterpreted a situation. One person had a bad idea, a bad impression about somebody. One person had a bad experience with somebody. One person actually encountered that person. That person was just having a bad day, that leader. Bad day. And then these things just start getting said. All this maligning of people and all this negative stuff. And I don't know about you, but I have bad days. And it wouldn't be good if everybody always repeated everything I did or said on my bad days. That just wouldn't go over well. And it wouldn't go over well for you either. And that's the point, is I think that there's something to be said about this concept of leaders that we wouldn't even entertain those accusations unless there's two or three witnesses against them. Use some discernment on that, but I think that's a generally a good plan for those in leadership. Next, those that we lead, actually, the community should rally behind their leaders. You know, I've been, especially now as I get to travel a little bit and minister in some different environments, I get to see some good examples of this and some examples that aren't so epic of how the community responds to their leadership. When their leader's like, this is the direction we're going, I feel like, man, the most apt response of the human heart should be, we're with you. We don't get it quite yet. We want to understand it a little better. Please explain it a little better next week. But we're with you. Let's do it. There should be a rallying behind those leaders because the leaders were put into place to give leadership to whatever those spheres of influence were. Again, I'm thinking you work in a preschool environment. And you as the teacher say, all right, kids, we're going from this room to this room. You want all those kids to say, yeah, and follow you into the next room. And that's right, because you're a leader. That's what's supposed to happen. And And next, and this is just a point that I have had a number of conversations with people about over the years, but the scripture's clear that especially in church ministry and in the concept of ministering, that there actually should be some form of financial compensation. That's actually a biblical concept, that would be in there. And that looks a lot of different ways, and I've served in environments where, I wasn't in any way receiving compensation from that ministry, but it was coming from some other place. And I just feel like, just for you guys to hear and know that's a biblical concept, that leaders would receive some measure of financial compensation for their efforts. All right, well, let's change gears back, because I wanted to slip those last two pieces in there. How to keep those ministers faithful, and this concept of rewards, because it does tie so much to those ministers being able to do it for the long haul. Man, if there's no reward system, I just feel like sometimes I just quit. But because I know that the Lord really is with me, because I know that as a leader, the Lord has things that He wants to do in and through, and that He promises then that there are some rewards, just so helpful. Okay, so staying focused on the ministry assignment. Let's put those verses up there. We've got Colossians 4:17 and 1 Timothy, a couple of verses, and a 1 Corinthians verse. I just want to read these, and here's what these verses are all about. These verses are about long-term ministry assignment, not quitting, the concept of faithfulness. These verses are describing the concept of saying yes to our ministry assignment and staying faithful to that until the Lord changes the direction. And again, your ministry assignment, you might go, well, I'm not a minister, I don't have this. If the Lord told you to take that job, that's your ministry assignment. If the Lord told you to go to that school, that's your ministry assignment. If the Lord told you to start that small group or do whatever, that's your ministry assignment. Take it seriously and don't divert from it, not one bit, until the Lord gives you new direction. And sometimes He may never give you new direction. So just some verses on this concept of fulfilling the long-term ministry assignment. Colossians 4:17. See to it that you complete the work that you've received in the Lord. Complete it. Stay faithful to that task. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. This work, so that small group that's been entrusted to your care, those co-workers, if you've got any sphere of influence in your job environment, in the home, those that the Lord has given you in your household, take charge that you do not neglect the fact that the Lord has entrusted these things to you. 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge you in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions, just to have the instructions and keep going forward. 1 Corinthians 15, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you, and always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. These are just such challenging verses to me, because sometimes it's easier to just bail. Sometimes it's easier to just go start something else. Sometimes it's easier to just take that other assignment, to move on to that other thing. I think that the Lord is looking for the faithful ones that will stay in the last place that the Lord gave them until the Lord gives a new assignment. Staying faithful, staying steady. It's about trustworthiness, really. It's about us trusting that the Lord is good and about us being those that are trustworthy to do what the Lord last assigned us to do. The trusting that the Lord is good part comes like this. You don't like your ministry assignment. You don't like what it is that you've been given, what it is that you're doing, what it is that the Lord has for you. You don't like it. You're like, Lord, I want to jump ship and go do this other thing. And if the Lord gives you permission to go do the other thing, if He says, yeah, go do that, okay. But if He doesn't, and I see this happen a lot, if He doesn't, then it's really an issue of our own trust. Because we don't trust that the Lord is good. How in the world could this thing that I'm doing possibly be good? I don't like it. It's not good. I don't like it. It's not enjoyable. And the Lord's like, trust me in this. Stay faithful. Stay steady. Do the thing that the Lord last gave you as an assignment until the Lord makes it clear that you've got something else on your plate. Until He makes it clear that you're supposed to go do something else. Stay faithful. Next. This is along the concept of how do we keep going in the area of our ministry assignment. And again, think of your ministry assignment in your current context. What are you doing in life? What has the Lord given you? Stay faithful to my wife. Stay faithful as a father to my child. Stay faithful in my workplace. Stay faithful, you know, in all those different situations. That's your ministry assignment. One of the ways that's so helpful for staying faithful for the long term, and we know, we talk about this a lot in different contexts, is routines. Which is so helpful, especially in your ministry assignment, is coming up with routines that are helpful to accomplishing the things that the Lord wants you to do in that season. So just real simple, think about your work. So if you've got a job, there are certain routines that you've probably built so that you can make sure you remember to do the stuff you're supposed to do. Good idea. That's good. There are certain routines that you have in your walk with the Lord in order to be able to keep yourself moving in the direction that the Lord has for you. That's good. Routines are so helpful. I love the passage that about Daniel in Daniel 6:10 and about the way that he lived his life. And while this is very much about spiritual disciplines, I appreciate the fact that he had routines in his life that it helped sustain him towards his long-term ministry assignment for decades. And here's what it says. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees, and three times that day he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel had some routines in his life that were helpful to helping him stay on his ministry assignment long term, and he kept those routines. Maybe he altered them here a little bit there, whatever, but he kept routines in his life to just keep him steady. Routines are so helpful. Especially in our lives as busy Americans with 1,000 things going on. And as I've been processing, getting ready for this message, and just thinking about, man, to be a faithful minister, what do you got to do to be a faithful minister and to stay that way for decades? I mean, with all the traps, with all the ways that the enemy wants to destroy us, with all the difficulties of life that really are, they happen, they're real. With all the really awesome blessings that are just as easy to derail us. I mean, they're just as easy. It's so cool, it's derailing me. I mean, it's like with all those things, what are the important components? And I just want to tell you, I think routines is at the top of the list, in the top three. I think routines is essential. That we build routines in our life, and if you need to adjust them a little, okay. But to build routines to stay steady towards the long-term purposes that the Lord has for us. Staying diligent in the work. Just let's get those verses up there that talk about the diligence in the work. 1 Timothy and Hebrews and 1 Thessalonians. The verses that apply to being diligent in the work. Look at how much, I mean, look at the way that these phrases are structured about the importance of not just working as a leader. It's not enough that you've got a title. It's not enough that people call you leader. That you've got to keep working hard in your ministry assignment. To work hard, to work diligently, to give yourself. This is an issue of character. This is an issue about leadership. This is a leadership quality that's so important. It's not that you just do it, but that you work hard. That you, at the end of working hard, you're just tired. I so appreciate Caslin. Caslin right now, I don't know. She might have done it intentionally. I kind of doubt it. I think she's just slept through tonight. She's so tired from this weekend. She worked so hard for days and weeks beforehand to pull off this conference. She's so tired because she was so diligent in the work. I didn't have it in me to wake her up. I was just like, let that girl sleep. So tired because of the diligence, staying at it, late nights, long conversations, difficult things, running and doing this, you know, give that extra little assignment to somebody to delegate something to go get it done. I just so appreciate, I think Caslin is actually a great example of diligent minister. She's amazing in that capacity. So let's just read these verses, because this is godly character stuff. It's not just that you don't, you know, like, you know, commit adultery. It's like, are you being lazy? I mean, I don't want to be accused of being lazy when I stand upstairs and have to give an account. So, because these are issues for leaders more than anybody. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them. Obey them. This is talking about the role of individuals towards leaders. But it's talking about their work. It says, obey them, obey your leaders, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. Because it's work. To be a leader is work. It's not fun and play. I mean, you can have some of that. It's good to have a great attitude about it, but it's work. Leading is work. Respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. I mean, there's something about leaders. You just got to work a little harder. You just got to do a little more. You got to stay up a little later. Leadership is chief servant kind of stuff. Jesus, after long day of ministry, he's got all this stuff going on. At the end of the day, he then retreats away to go spend time in prayer, praying for the guys and about the situation of the guys that he's leading. Because it's the next day that he assigns the apostles their role. And he stayed up all night asking the Lord. It's work. He's like, who? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? Give me a download. I need to know who these guys are that I'm supposed to. Because I don't know. Is it that guy? I like that guy, but should it be that guy? And that's after a long day of ministry. Stay up all night kind of deal. I mean, it's leaders got to work hard. And I don't know that all leaders do. And I think all leaders should. And it's a part of leadership. It's an expectation that we'd be hard workers. Preach and teach the word. Faithful ministers need to not only be able to, but they need to actually have and make and find opportunities to teach and preach. It's important. It's so important because when the Lord's thinking of leaders, he's thinking so much about the discipleship process. Not enough that you're nice, not enough that you have that title, but that you're looking for opportunities. And forget the concept of having to have a microphone for this to count. Preach and teach. That's not what this is talking about at all. Preach and teach because the majority of the people on the planet won't have a microphone. Majority of the people on the planet won't have a big sphere of influence. But they're looking for ways to preach and to teach the word. It's over coffee. It's at the dinner table. It's with their friends. It's with their coworkers at the water cooler. They're looking for opportunities. They're looking for ways to preach and to teach the word and to get it into to those. Let's put those verses up about preaching and teaching. Elders are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. Those elders, and again, in our discussion, leaders of every variety that are preaching and teaching. That's good. That's honorable. The overseer must be able to teach. Command and teach these things. Devote yourself to preaching and to teaching. And again, that can look as leaders, that can really be as simple as you're leading that group of kindergartners and you're looking for opportunities to preach and to teach. It can be really as simple as you've got three friends that look up to you and you take them all out to coffee every now and then, one at a time. And you're looking for opportunities to teach and to preach. But it's something about leaders that leaders have a responsibility to preach and to teach. And again, at various levels, I know many of these verses that we're reading really are probably referring in this day to people with microphones. But the issue is the same at the individual level. At this, whatever the smallest version of influence, to look for opportunities as a leader, as one who can get the word of God into those that you have an opportunity to be able to minister to. Keeping watch over the flock. I want to share this one because as a shepherd, and even much longer before we, had a little church, and just as a shepherd over a small group of five people, these verses have messed me up over the years because it's so important that leaders think this way. And that leaders that don't think this way wind up really shortchanging those that they're leading. So the issue really comes to keeping watch over the flock, looking out for the spiritual condition of those that you minister to. Again, it's three people, it's one people, it's 100 people, it doesn't matter how many. The numbers doesn't matter. looking out for the spiritual condition, the maturity, the things that are going to be poison to them, the things that are going to be a blessing, the good green grass that they could be eating, but instead they're eating this junk over here that's got half dirt in it, and little hay stubble stuff. Give them the green grass. The shepherd's job, again, leaders, whatever your sphere of influence, is to care about the spiritual maturing and development of those that you give leadership to. So let's read those verses, a few of them here. Again, leaders, they keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Keeping watch. They keep watch over you. Leaders' job is to keep watch over those that they're leading, to help them, to make sure that they don't stub their spiritual toe. You know, to keep watch over them. And to the concept of the shepherd out there at the sheep are all there, and there's wolves out there, and there's animals that there's a sheep that are easily spooked and they run off into the woods. Get back here, crazy sheep! I mean, it's like there's the role of the shepherd to keep watch, to have an eye, to be careful, to be aware. It's the job of the shepherd to be keeping watch over the sheep. Acts 20:28 says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. Keep watch over the flock. Romans 16 says, watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings that you've learned. Keep away from them. Again, this keeping watch. That concept has so been bothersome to my soul, because the truth of the matter is, not all the time do those that you're helping keep watch over appreciate your watchfulness. And it doesn't matter. I mean, just imagine the sheep out there, and the sheep pen's like, bah, I don't care. Bah, don't keep watch over me. Yeah, actually, I'm gonna, because you're here. And I'm supposed to, and I know you don't want me to, but it's really better for you that I do. And until you're in somebody else's sheep pen, I'm going to do the best I can to keep watch over you, because you need it. And it's sometimes troubling because people don't really appreciate it. And our culture is not conducive to this concept. Our culture is used to this concept. I go to a building once a week. I show up. I tip the bucket. I go home. And no one gets to keep watch over me. And that's normal Christianity in America. And that is totally unbiblical. It's the job of the shepherd. Again, it's your two friends. It's your small group. It's whatever. It's your job as leaders to keep watch over them. Whether they like it or not doesn't matter. Now, we can always learn a lot of lessons about how to do it better and how to do it nicer, and all those things are important, but even you doing it mean is still the right thing, better than not doing it all. I mean, keep watch over those you've been given leadership over. It's important. And sometimes you just don't know how to help. That's another way that it's been troublesome to me. Sometimes I'm supposed to be keeping watch, and I go, well, I'll be darned, I have absolutely no idea what just happened. I do not know how to help this person. I don't know what to do. And that's one of the beauties of having those that are leaders in your life, to be able to go to them and try to stump them. Hey, this thing, you ever seen that before? Whoa, no. What do we do with that? I guess we better go ask somebody else. It's helpful to have leaders in your life that are leading you as you're a leader in somebody else's life, because at least you got somebody to go talk to about the thing that just happened. Sometimes there's stumping situations. I'm so grateful for Pastor Adam. I call him up once about every 8 months with a question I'm staring at, I'm praying about, and I am clueless. Like, I have no idea what to do with this. And it's so many times just that anointing thing on his life, and just as a leader in my life, the Lord wants me to have that bond with a leader in my life. I'll call him every time he's got the answer. It's just, and I'm like, how did you do that? There have been a couple of times he's like, yeah, I don't know. It just sounded right. I'm like, it was right. It was so right. Another way that it's been troublesome to me is sometimes in our efforts to watch over others. Again, it's the responsibility. It's a character issue. It would be easier to just let it slide, right? I mean, just not bring that thing up. Not say that thing. Not warn them about the whatever. You know, not saying it. It'd just be easier. But it's a character issue. That when confronted with that, it's the job of those that are in leadership roles over us to say something, to help us. And sometimes when we do that as leaders, we make mistakes in our efforts to help. It's troubling. It'd be easy if I could always be guaranteed when I'm trying to keep watch, when I'm trying to do that, I'm in watchman mode, you know, I'm trying to keep watch. If I just had a guarantee that everything I said or did was going to be right, well, that'd be easy. Then I could always know every time I open my mouth in keep watch mode, everything's going to work out great. It just doesn't. It works out a lot of times. You know, it's a valuable effort. But sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes you'll make mistakes. It doesn't disqualify you. It doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean you can quit. It doesn't mean they're a bad leader when they do it to you. It just means sometimes we're human, and sometimes we make mistakes. And that's kind of baffling to me, because it'd just be easier if it was just so cut and dry. I'm in watchman mode. I'm trying to help. I say this thing, therefore it must be right. It's just not that way all the time. Now, I just want you to know that, because you're going to have leaders in your life, and they're going to make mistakes. And you're going to be a leader in others' lives, and you're going to make mistakes. That's okay. Find your way. Move forward. Push, delete. Keep going. Apologize to them. If you did something, you identify it. That's helpful. Just even on that point, I think I have probably, just in some of the relationships I can think of, I've probably gotten so many more brownie points when I messed up and went and made it right and just said, I made this, I did this wrong, I'm sorry. Probably grew so much in my relationship with those people than had I made no mistake at all. I mean, there was probably a greater trust factor after the mess up. That's just the beautiful redemption of God when it comes to making mistakes. Just go eat it. Just own up to it. It's helpful. And the last piece about watchfulness that's a hard thing, and I want you to hear this. I want you to know, because this is real. As leaders, you're not in charge of that person. It's your job to try to keep watch. Sometimes the enemy wins. And the way that he wins is he deceives people into thinking that really, really bad ideas are good ideas. And sometimes people make those choices. And sometimes it's really costly. And it really hurts. It's another reason this whole keep watch thing is, it's a painful piece. Because sometimes in your effort to keep watch, you're doing your best, you're trying so hard, you're giving the best counsel you can give, you see the enemy totally devour somebody who made some really bad choices. And it's painful. And they may be mad at you. They may not want anything to do with you anymore. You could have led me better, or I don't want your leadership. I like this way. I like this choice. I like this decision. And it's painful. And you know what? That's going to happen, and it still doesn't give us an out. We still have to keep watch over those that the Lord gives us influence in the lives of. We still have to. We don't get to quit. We gotta get up the next day and go, okay, well, I'm going to try to learn some lessons from this difficult situation. And I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying to keep watch over those 2, 10, 100, whatever. I'm going to keep trying. And lastly, and it's along these same lines of this keeping watch, is warning about error. It's important. Let's put those verses up, the last chunk of verses that we got here. If you point out these things, I think is where it starts. Warning the saints about error. It's so important. We're in a culture right now. You know, we're in this series on godly leadership, and every time I'm bringing up a new point, I'm thinking about part of the reason I put these points into the teaching was because I've seen so many examples of where these things were not happening the way that the Bible says they should happen. And I'm just trying, in this context, in our little world here, as we're doing a series on godly leadership, the character of a godly leader, I just want to so ingrain these messages, the message of the New Testament, role of a leader, responsibility of a leader to remain faithful, to keep doing it long term. I so want to ingrain that in us because on this particular point, there is so much going on right now in the body of Christ that is ear-tickling teaching and is not helpful. It's not warning people about lies, about half-truths, about things that they're saying yes to that are destructive. The role of a leader is to lead by, in some cases, many cases, warning people about error. Just take this down to the smallest level, into the home. JC's about to start walking. And I'm just imagining the day when she's, her little hand is just long enough to reach up and to touch the hot plate, to touch the burner while Amy's cooking. Out of love. I've got to warn her about that. And whatever that warning needs to look like to keep her from burning her finger off. I mean, I've got to. In the small groups, you know, part of the reason we have a small group structure is because we want for everybody to have somebody that they can look to as a leader in their life, who can look out for them. And as small group leaders and as leaders in whatever other spheres, you got a responsibility when you see somebody walking down a road that you know is going to be destructive, you know is wrong, you know is error, you got to warn them. There's just this role we've got to warn. It's helpful. It is a piece of being a godly leader, about being faithful. It's easier to just let it go. Ah, they'll figure it out. It's the responsibility of leaders to warn. And again, warning comes in so many different ways. I mean, there's some stuff that your warning is, hey, if I were you, I wouldn't do that. That can be a warning, depending on the level of whatever the issue is. Sometimes you go, hey, that's error. You need to not do that. Like, that's a bad idea. Sometimes you need to go, I don't know what you're thinking right now. You've got to stop that. That's crazy. I mean, there's levels of warning, but it is the responsibility of leaders to lead and to paint the road clear about what is right and true. And when it comes to issues of error, to identify and say, this is going to bite you. Let's just read these verses real quick, then we'll end. If you point out these things to the brothers, you'll be a good minister. Pointing these things out. If you go look at the context, he was pointing out issues that they were in error about. Acts 20. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day with tears. I mean, this one was Paul going, you know, in tears, broken, crying every day, don't do this, don't do this. I mean, that's intense. I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. To warn. So good, so wise. To warn, to be helpful in that way. Galatians 5. I warn you, as I did before, that those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, this one's a hard one to say. And so most people just don't ever say it. But it's a good thing. It is loving. It is a good warning to tell people that we love, that are living. Go look at that passage. Go spend a little bit of time in Galatians 5. Go look at that passage and look at the list. And if you find friends, family, you know, churchgoers, small group, people in your small group, people that come around wherever you're at, and they call themselves believers, it's good to warn them. People that live like this, they do not inherit the kingdom. They don't go to heaven. That doesn't happen. People that live like this don't wind up upstairs. That doesn't happen. That's helpful warning because it's to set people in the right path. Listen, my hope in this series, it hasn't been so much to motivate us as it is to write some genetics on our heart about leadership, about what you should expect from me, about what I should be doing, about what should be expected from our small group leaders, about what should be expected of you in the different contexts that the Lord gives you leadership. About what we should be looking for in leaders. I know as time goes on, the Lord may lead many of you to do different things and go different places. What you should be looking for in leaders. It's not flawless perfection. It's just an effort to strive towards these things. That these are character points of godly leaders. And so my hope is that in this just, you know, 3 sessions, to be able to give us some genetics about what leadership really ought to look like when it comes to the area of character. If you guys stand with me, I'll pray.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.